Thank you, Rick. Believe me, it's a great responsibility, like Rick said, and I have never in my life felt worthy of this calling. And I have to admit, for some reason tonight, my heart's racing. It's 95, sitting right there in that chair. I've been nervous since I left church this morning. So I pray that your hearts are open. I pray that you will pray for me a peace. I pray that our Heavenly Father will just deliver this message for me. So, as always, it's a struggle for me to find the words for the opening to open with. So I'm going to start with two verses here. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. That is an awesome, awesome verse, right? I mean, each and every one of you here tonight believes in that, that we have an unchanging God. We serve an unchanging God. And I truly believe that when I accepted the calling of my baptism, when I entered the waters of baptism, I became a son of Jacob. I became a part of the tribes of Israel. Verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances. Wow. So go clear back in heritage, and man has done nothing but his best to separate himself from God. Am I right? Am I wrong? Is that a maybe? No, I think it's true. Natural man is an enemy to God, and we know that. Going on here. You're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. He's promised. He's never left us. He will always be there for us. He's always been there for me. I felt his glorious hand on my shoulders. I felt the comfort, the love that he's delivered to me through the Holy Spirit. But let me finish that. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Those are some tough words. And I hope that as I read on tonight, as I speak, that you'll understand where I'm coming from, what's on my heart, and maybe why I'm so nervous. So ask yourself why you would ask where you would return to. If you have the knowledge, if you understand who your Creator is, who your Savior is, and how unworthy a creature you are, and understand that you're a sinner, then why even ask the question, where do you need to return? Where is that place? Alma, chapter 15. It's on page 407. 407. Alma, chapter 15. Starting at the 50th verse. And thus we see how great the iniquity of man is because of sin and transgression, and the power of the devil which comes by the cunning plans which he hath devised to ensnare the hearts of men. 51. And thus we see the great call of the diligence of men to labor in the vineyards of the Lord, and thus we see the great reason of sorrow, and also of rejoicing, sorrow because of death and destruction among men, and joy because of the light of Christ unto life. These are some powerful scriptures. You know why they're so powerful to me? Because right now, I'm in a battle. A serious battle. And I'm here tonight, and you may consider this a confession, which we're told we are to confess our sins. And I openly will tell anyone when I mess up. I believe that's part of my calling, because I mess up. And as an example to others, I have to step forward and say, I messed up. I love my God. I messed up. I am in this great spiritual battle right now. And this spiritual battle is my spirituality versus the chaos of the world. And you say, what chaos? Our world is not in chaos. Isn't that what you're all saying? This is a perfect world we live in, right? My battle right now is with my own anger, pride, and arrogance. I find there's not a day that goes by that I am not judging my fellow man. I travel this country over again. I've recently been moved back into the field full-time, so I'm back on the road. So there are a lot of stories I can tell you. And I can see where before, when I was traveling, why I was so uptight. Because I'm uptight again. I'm anxious. Why today? Started my day out. I went to get a coffee before I came to church this morning, and right out of the gate, I turn my blinker on, I start slowing, I get in the turn lane, and I have a carload of people that just about clip me and yell at me, and it's my fault. Although I turned my blinker on and I slowed to get in the turn lane, it was my fault. I got in their way. I encroached on their life for that moment in time. Got my coffee, decided I'd wash the car. I'm about two blocks from church up here. I pull up to a four-way stop. I come to a complete stop, and there's a 30-foot RV, a motorhome, coming up. I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to wait until he comes to a full stop. He rolls up, doesn't really slow down much, punches the brakes so that the nose of the RV goes down, and then he floors it and goes through. Okay, you say that's no big deal. In my world, I'm on the road a lot. I may drive 1,000, 2,000 miles in a week. You know how many times I see that these days? Do you know how often I see people that look at you and they are in utter disgust, and you did nothing? You have encroached on their life, and it's upsetting me. And it's upset me to the point that I'm becoming like them. I confess to you that I have been filled with anger. And I have been so prideful, putting myself above my fellow man lately, that it is driving me insane. Not literally, but it's upsetting to me because it makes it worse, right? I've always felt like I've been the stable one at work. You know, my guys come to me when they have personal troubles or business troubles. One of my guys came to me the other day and said, "Hey, what's going on? You're not acting like Rusty. Your tone has changed. Your glass isn't half full anymore." And it was upsetting to me. That's my chaos. That's my battle right now. And we all suffer those times when we have battles in our lives. They're all different, but they're all the same. I have a brother right now in this church that's in a battle, and I worry about him because he's young, and I see the stress that he's worried about because of this, and I don't know what to do for him. Pray. I see a little bit of myself when I first became a minister in the church, and how zealous he is and how much he wants to fix things. But I also worry. I'm worried that he's going to make himself ill, or he's going to err because of his stress, because of his worry for his job, for what his responsibility is. That's my chaos. That's my battle at this point. And I pray, I've prayed forgiveness every night for a long time now. But it's just come to a head. Do you know what this world has become in the last year? It has become upside down. It is chaos. And there is a force that is planning this. You can look at anything that has happened over the last 12 months, and there is good intention invaded by evil. I'm evil because God created me like this. I have to go this week and deal with a problem at work because one of my guys met a new operator and was asking about her family. "Oh, she's young, she's got young kids," and he's a family guy, he's in his 60s. She reported him, said he was creepy, said that he should not ask about her kids. So now I have to make a trip to go and rectify the issue. But there was no issue. Our world has turned upside down. People think that they have the right to do whatever they want. And I will be the first to tell you, I believe that we all have a right to make free choices, be of free will. But I also believe in the rule of law for order. When a stewardess can't go to work without the fear of having her teeth knocked out because somebody doesn't want to wear their lap belt while the plane is taxiing, and she does her job by asking them to put their belt back on because that is the federal law and safety for not only the passenger but the passengers around her. But no, this stewardess now has to fear physical abuse. We didn't see this a year ago. We did not see the outward, I don't even want to call it arrogance. That's giving it strength. But I guess it's ingrained in my DNA because my brother was this way. And I've always said I wouldn't be that way. But it's upsetting to me to see how a people that 12 months ago, The majority of them were still kind and considerate to their fellow man. Walk through an airport these days. It used to be kind of funny to see one or two, you know, that young sales executive trying to get his work done before he caught his next flight, you know, or the young college student that was texting, TikToking, whatever it is, as she went to her flight. Now they're six across in the aisle and not talking to each other, and they're all on their phones. There's no consideration. And when you say, excuse me, they look at you as if you just said something foul to them. You shouldn't ask them to move for you. You just deal with it. It angers me. I'm going to tell you right now. I already feel a weight lifted off of me because I've been able to share this with you. I am confessing to you my weakness right now and my battle, and I pray that you will pray for me. Titus chapter 1. Starting at the 10th verse. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Now we know that we're talking about the Jews at this time, the Pharisees, those who preach the coming of the Messiah but don't believe he's there. They don't believe that Christ is the Messiah. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucres. Do we not see this today? Do we not see in our world the word of God being preached for monetary gain, for purposes other than the salvation of souls? We do. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, I take that as of his own mind, he set himself a prophet. Of his own mind, he set himself a pastor. The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Praise the Lord. Get out of my face, you rotten person. It happens every day in the world. People profess God to be their, you know, Jesus Christ is my Savior, and they turn right around, and their purpose in life is something that pleases them. Our world today. Gotta love it. How about James chapter 3? Brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. That's an odd statement. Be many masters. I've mastered many tasks. You know, I'm pretty good with cars. I'm pretty good with this. I'm pretty, you know, what does that mean? For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to also, let's just stop there. If any man offend not in word, raise your hand if you've never, ever in your life, intentionally or not intentionally, spoken a word that was offensive to someone. I would expect all the young kids to raise their hands. Not even the young kids? If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. It's saying if you can bridle your tongue, if you can keep from offending someone, if you can go throughout each and every day and say just the right thing that you do not offend someone, then you have the utter ability to have perfect self-control. Right? You guys are kind of quiet tonight. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Kind of get where it's going? This little bitty tongue that's in your face, you know, it kind of can lead you. It can lead you astray, or it can lead you down the right path, right? Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and bird and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. So he's saying we're kind of two-faced or double-speak. So on one hand, we can praise our God. We can look to our Savior Jesus Christ. We can preach the Word of God, and we can turn around and we can curse our fellow man. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. We see it every day. We see it every day in our politicians, be it right or left, middle. They're on this channel and they say this, and this channel they say something just a little different because that channel wants to hear it a little differently. We hear it from our teachers, our children's teachers. But are we hearing it from our own faces? Are we double speaking? Are we double tongued? Are we speaking about our Lord and Savior and cursing our fellow man? Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Without pride. That tongue is the biggest tool when it comes to pride. Because isn't it always your mouth that's getting you in trouble? You're boasting about yourself. You know, I have a sister-in-law. My oldest brother passed several years ago. And his wife, she now has a new beau. He's from Louisiana. Boy, I tell you, if you've done it, he's done it 10 times better and 10 times more. If you've got it, well, he spent 3 times as much on his, and he's got 4 of them. That's what our natural man wants to do. We want to climb on top. We want to be above. That tongue gets you, it'll get you a long ways. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. This is the road that I started down. The more I let it anger me, the more I look to my own self to fix this problem. You guys know what a blanket party is? Blanket party. I'm the youngest of 3 boys. Oh, there are three of us boys. I've had a blanket party done to me. It's where your 2 older brothers throw a blanket over your head and then just wallop on you. I was to the point where I thought that some of these people needed a blanket party. Short of acting on that, so angry, I wanted to give it to them myself. Right? It's not right. That's not my God that I know, that I've accepted in my life as my Savior. It's not what He wants me to do. It's what Rusty was going to do. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. What's the definition of chaos? Confusion. Right? Chaos. It's where there's, a lot of times there's things that are moving so fast and in so many different directions that you can't get a grip on one of them, let alone see the whole picture. Chaos. No self-control, chaos in your life, double-minded, double speaker, envy, strife, confusion, the devil, Satan is in your life. There are answers to this world, though. Psalms 19. Starting at the first verse. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Our God is a great God. He is above us. The only thing that should be above us or above our fellow man the firmament. Look about you. Since I was a child, before I knew who Jesus Christ was, before I knew there was a difference between God and Jesus Christ, I thought they just used Jesus in this show and God in this show. I was a lake rat, and I used to love to sleep outside. I could lay down and go to sleep in a sleeping bag on a gravel ground next to a fire pit and wake up the next morning at sunrise. That is the most beautiful sight you can ever think of seeing. A body of water that is pure glass. A bird that chirps. A sunrise. And I'm talking, 10 to 12 years old, I saw these things, and I knew at that time, and I can recall at that time thinking, there is something greater than me. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where there, and that's spelled T-H-E-I-R. And I thought, and I'd read this before and I never thought about it, but there, who are we talking about? Who is he talking about? Where there voice is not heard. Our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ are there, them. There is nowhere in this world, no time, night or day, that their voices can't be heard if you're willing to listen, if you're ready to hear. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I underlined that. Wise, making the wise simple. I've always thought of myself as a simple person. Not just in the fact that, in modern terms, I'm not high maintenance. I'm just simple. All I want is what I need. I don't need a shiny, big house. I can't take care of the little dumpy house I have. Right? I'm simple. And I've always thought that that helped me understand life a lot easier. I was number 5 of 6 kids. We didn't have all that stuff, Leftovers 2 or 3 nights a week. Dad came home from a hard day's work. Mom was with us kids all the time. I've spoiled my kid. I've given her everything and more, and I shouldn't have. Simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Okay? Who out here can understand your errors? Well, I'm here to tell you that tonight, leading up to tonight, I have come to an understanding of my errors. Why? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Malachi 6 and 7. We have an unchanging God. He is always there. He will never leave us. 7. Where do we return to? Our God, our Lord and Savior. He who hung on that tree so that I would have free will to be a heathen or try to be righteous. First Corinthians 15. Fifty-fifth verse. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. This is the New Testament. I like this verse, because I can apply it in my life to today. I know that the law they're talking about is the law of Moses, and Christ came and did away with that. But it still applies today because there is a law. There is a commandment. There are many commandments that we are to follow. When we don't follow them, that's sin. When we sin, that's death. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The conscious thought about this responsibility. You know, Rick said it tonight. I have a responsibility. I don't feel like I fulfill that responsibility like I should. I'm unworthy. I'm sure that all of my brothers feel unworthy of the calling at some point. But I take comfort in knowing that when I work for the Lord, when I take this responsibility, and I go out in the world or in the vineyard, or if I'm with the young people at camp, or I'm here standing before you, as unworthy as I feel that I am, I rely on my Heavenly Father to strengthen me, to comfort me, to lead my voice. And I feel blessed because I have a peace about me right now, more so than when I started tonight. 1 John chapter 5. starting at the first verse. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I have to tell you that in my Bible it says grievous is burdensome. I was heavily burdened with the knowledge that I was doing wrong in the way I was acting, the way I was thinking, the actions that were on my heart. I will tell you straight, just absolutely, I did not act on anything. But my attitude and my thoughts towards my fellow man, and it was a great burden on my heart, having the knowledge of my Savior, of his commandments, of my responsibility, and still acting and thinking in that fashion. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I have the tools. I have the power. And it's not to go out and hand out blanket parties. I have the tools and I have the power to overcome the world because I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have the Holy Ghost as my Comforter. The promise of my Heavenly Father that I will be victorious if I am steadfast and repent when I err. And why is this? Well, I'll tell you that I am not one. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's partially because I don't have a good understanding of Revelation and the end times. When I read it, I don't think that's... God's not ready to tell me anything about that specifically outside what the Scriptures read. And I'll be completely honest with you. I've never thought that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's return was going to happen in my lifetime. It's just not been within me to think that that was going to happen. Right? But having experienced the world that we live in today and the chaos that I've seen and you all have seen and maybe experienced makes me think about that. Makes it more relevant to me when I read scriptures like verse chapter 22, starting at the 11th verse. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And Christ says in 12 and 13, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, according as his work shall be. If he'd have returned last week, if he'd have returned this morning, where would I have been? 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. For outside the gates are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So picture it like this sanctuary is inside the gates. We go outside these gates and we're in that horrific and terrible place that he just described. That's our world today. Again, the end times are for someone who's much smarter than I am. But I will tell you that it was brought to my attention, put on my heart, to go to Revelations and read. And I saw exactly that if I did not turn myself around, did not confess my sin and ask forgiveness, well, there you go. His answer is his answer. If you will be found in sin, let's just read that again, 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whatever state you are in when the Lord returns, that is the state you will spend eternity in. That's the way I read that. If you're in a state of sin, you will live the rest of your life, the rest of eternal life, in sin. If you're righteous or holy, your everlasting life will be righteous and holy. Let's go to Moroni, chapter 10. Apologies, I don't have that page number. Starting at the 15th verse. That is page 776. Wherefore, there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there must also be hope, and if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. I love that hope. When I pray to my God, and I'm asking him in sincerity for something, or I'm thanking him for something, hope is this overwhelming sack around my heart. You know, it's like this warm hug I feel. Just knowing. I can't say that I haven't had that feeling. Stagnant prayers. Just a cold heart. Absolutely, there was no charity in my heart. For those I loved, that double tongue that I had, for those I loved and cared about, again, I was just like those who I was judging. 16. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith. Neither can ye if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair, and despair cometh because of iniquity. I had no hope. I struggled every day just to get up and do it again because of the iniquity in my life, the sin in my life. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, If ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that in the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you. It shall be because of unbelief. And woe be unto the children of men, if this be the case, for there shall be none that doeth good among you, no, not one. I kind of see our world going that direction. Because those that are actively seeking to create chaos, taking good things and turning them into something evil, are trying to turn us away from our God. They're trying to take God out of our lives. And if they succeed, well, for if there be one among you that doeth good, he shall work by the power and gift of God. God doesn't even give up on us. If there's one of you that can handle it and can survive this world and continue to have a good heart and have hope and have faith, and woe unto them which shall do these things away and die. For they die in their sins, and they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And I speak it according to the words of Christ, and I lie not. It's hard to argue with the truth. And we have the truth. We have the word as it was written, and it's made it through the ages, mostly intact. Anytime man's hands touches it, you know that. But greater than that is we have a witness to the validity of this. To the truth of this. And I believe that, as Rollin said, today we have the books of two tribes. I believe that one day we will have books like this, witnessing the word of God from other tribes. Not as powerful, maybe not as known, but we have to have record of these other tribes come forth. I believe that, whether it's not what this says, but my gosh, you can't have 10 other tribes that no one kept records of. I just think that the story of God is not done. I think the story of Christ's miracles is not done. Alma 15, this is my closing verses. Starting at the 52nd verse. Oh, that I were an angel and could have the wish of mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God, with a voice to shake the earth, and cry repentance unto every people. Yea, I would declare unto every soul, as with the voice of thunder, repentance and the plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto our God, that there might be no more sorrow upon all the face of the earth. But I behold, I am a man, and do sin in my wish, for I ought to be content with the things which the Lord hath allotted unto me. Be simple. I had not ought to harrow up in my desires the firm decree of a just God, for I know that he granteth unto men according to their desires, whether it be unto death or unto life. Yea, I know that he allotteth unto men, yea, decreeth unto them decrees which are unalterable according to their wills, whether they be unto salvation or unto destruction. Yea, and I know that good and evil hath come before all men, or he that knoweth not good from evil is blameless. But he that knoweth good and evil, to him it is given according to his desires. Whether he desireth good or evil, life or death, joy or remorse of conscience. Now seeing that I know these things, why should I desire more than to perform the work to which I have been called? It's my hope that some of the words may resonate with you. It's my hope that it was the Lord's will. I thank you for your time.